Well, hello and welcome to the Soccer Central podcast, Monday edition. That's the good edition, the serious edition, more serious edition, shall we say, because Thursday is obviously is nothing but business with Dunlop Dubbing myself. But today, I am James Sharman, joined by John Molinaro. Later in today's show, we'll be discussing some Champions League as match day three, right, J-Mo?
It is three.
Match day three. Graces our Sportsnet screens. The Bobby the Brains McMahon will join us to talk about the games coming up there. But let's start, J-Mo, with your favourite subject.
What's that?
Not Juventus. It's not Arsenal.
Then we're out of topics then.
Toronto FC.
Oh, that, yes.
TFC. We'll get to the EPL story shortly. But TFC, J-Mo, this weekend, they weren't going to qualify for the playoffs, but it was still considered a must-win, I guess. But they didn't win against Montreal, the worst road team in the league. They draw 1-1. They're out, obviously, officially from the playoffs now. And let's rewind, shall we, J-Mo, to the start of this season and the bravado and the bluster. Now, I bought into it. I thought this team would make the playoffs. I fully admit that, if Jermaine Defoe stayed healthy. But I put a big asterisk by that because I wasn't sure that he would. Do you remember what your thoughts were back in the
I certainly thought they were going to make the playoffs, but I mean, I think like a lot of people, I wasn't sort of planning the parade route. I didn't think that they were going to win MLS Cup. I didn't think that they were going to be one of the teams to watch in the playoffs and go on a lengthy run. But certainly, at the very least, on paper, I thought this team is at least good enough to finish in the top five in Eastern Conference. As it turns out, they weren't. So that's quite disappointing after not just all the hype, but after, you know, the massive outlay of funds in the offseason, bringing in Bradley and Defoe and Gilberto and adding in veteran pieces like Justin Morrow and Jackson. It was, I think, it was a reasonable expectation to think that this team would make the playoffs. So this is pretty bitter.
But they smashed club records, goals scored, most wins in a season. There's progress, isn't there, J-Mo?
Well,
I mean, listen, from a statistical standpoint, there was progress made, right? But there had
sure.
to be in progress when, given what they did in the offseason.
Yeah, I mean, most wins in a season, so there was progress there. Most points, there was progress. But the only metric that really matters in terms of progress was the playoffs. I mean, that's what this entire season hinged on. So, you know, MLSC and Toronto FC could probably spin it that there was, you know, that this season wasn't a complete failure, but for my mind, it was. I mean, this was all about making the playoffs, and they didn't do it. So you can't spin that.
You can't, no. And the fact is, I know the comparison is made to previous seasons and the records they beat. Well, the previous seven seasons were absolutely abysmal.
Yeah, dire.
So, of course, they were going to improve on those records. But looking forward, I mean, let's try and be positive here for a second. To me, they're not that far away from being a playoff team. They got some big parts in place. Certainly, Michael Bradley is number one, and obviously a lot of talk last week regarding Jurgen Klinsmann and Bradley's future. Let's assume he stays. I think he will stay.
I think so, too.
That's obviously a huge, huge part of that team. There's going to be a huge hole as well with Jermaine Defoe leaving. He's leaving, right?
Yeah, I think it's more than likely he's played his last game for
TFC.
He's
leaving. So, okay, you got a DP spot, lots of money available. You can fill that spot with goals. You should be able to, right?
I think so.
Gilberto staying?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah?
I mean, that could change, too. I mean, you know, the goalposts move all the time, right, especially during the off season. So, but as of right now, he's staying. But, I mean, it's a long time between now and January.
But from what you saw from him, especially as the season progressed, are you happy with him as a designated player?
Well, that's an interesting question. I'm happy with him. I'm not sure if he's a DP-quality player. Because when you spend that kind of money and you take that kind of, like, the maximum cap hit, then you have to score goals and produce goals. And, you know, I think, what does he have, 6 or 7 goals this season? Yeah. I was expecting more out of him from a production perspective. But, you know, I'm not willing to write it off. I mean, I think, you know, let's give him another season where he has a full season in camp of preseason training. If he can add to his goal tally and continue to sort of be that playmaker who kind of, you know, provides assists and just is an all-around striker, then I think it's in a good investment.
I think he broke free from that early season description. Oh, he's working really hard.
Yeah, I thought so too.
I think because he did obviously work hard, but I think that the stats did improve as his season progressed. At the back, obviously, Stephen Caldwell. He's he's a very good centre back for Major League Soccer. He's the captain. Will he be captain next year?
That's another interesting question too. And we were talking about this before we came on air. I know he's the captain, but I think of this as Michael Bradley's team. To be perfectly honest, I think he's the. This team revolves around him, and he's the key player. And that's no disrespect to Stephen Caldwell, but Michael Bradley is a much better player, much more influential player, and. As far as I'm concerned, he should, he's the sort of straw that stirs the drink. Now, whether he'll be captain or not, I mean, who knows?
And I'll say this too, Bradley and Caldwell, both of those players stood up when times were bad. They stood up and spoke to the media, which is a lot more than can be said for other players in that team, in particular Jermaine Defoe, who, quite frankly, was a disgrace with the media and being the face of that franchise. Yes, he scored goals when he played. But apart from living up to any other commitments, he may or may not have promised that team as far as selling this brand. Useless.
He's been, I want to be careful here. he's been challenging to deal with from a media perspective. Let me put it that way.
Hard to reach?
He hasn't been all that. He hasn't been as accommodating as I would have hoped he would be.
Right.
I think the problem is a lot of guys come over here from England or not just England, but from abroad in Europe, and they're not used to the access that the media and reporters have, right? So I think he was absolutely gobsmacked when he learned that, we would be in the locker room after games and
talk
to
him. First home game? I remember
he was stunned.
He was about 30 people around his locker, and he was going to get showered, and he took his time, and he came back in his towel, and he looked so uncomfortable.
Yeah.
And I don't blame him. I mean, this is a naked man getting dried off with 30 men staring at him, right? It can be uncomfortable, I'm sure. But at the same time, I don't think he did any research about what life's like in MLS, both as a player on the field and off the field, because if he had, he'd have known that already. He saw, let's be honest, he saw these dollar signs in front of him, and he jumped at it. And why not? At 31, he could double his wages, essentially, from what he would have got in England had he stayed there. He was at a low point, too, at Spurs, only playing European games at that point, wasn't he?
Yeah.
When he moves, so he could be swayed easily, but he did no due diligence as to what life's like here as an MLS player, clearly.
No, and maybe, and maybe that's part of the team's fault too, that they didn't sort of properly sell him on it and say, look, if you're going to come over, this is what's going to be involved, because he's been very, as I said, I don't think he's been as accommodating with the media as I would have liked. Unlike Michael Bradley, who has been very accommodating and bends over backwards to talk to reporters, and he'll stand up even after like a difficult game or a difficult loss. He won't sort of shy away. So I give full credit to Michael Bradley on that score. So just disappointing that Defoe, he hasn't been as made himself as available to the media as I would have liked.
And frankly, had he played every game and scored 25 goals, no one would have cared about that.
Sure.
Fine.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, really, I mean, sure, there should be a responsibility, but quite frankly, you're scoring goals, who cares? I remember dealing with Robbie Keane when he came up to Toronto for the CONCACAF Champions League qualifier. Remember that?
Oh, yeah, at the Rogers Center.
Yeah, that's right. And again, he came through the mixed zone, and I got him one-on-one, and I asked him a question more generically about MLS and about the Galaxy, and does MLS need to have a big, bad, team to kind of hate if you're an opposing fan? Is it good? Like Man United was.
Yep.
And he just goes to me, Sol, this isn't about the game. And I said, no. He goes, huh. And just walked off, ignored me.
Really?
Yeah. Wasn't impressed.
Wow.
Right. Didn't, again, prime example, didn't realize that I think there is a greater responsibility for these players to try and sell the game and the brand. But Robbie Keane scores goals and gets assists, right? And it is plays most games, the Galaxy as well. So as much as my personal feelings towards him may have been somewhat changed, and my respect level may have dropped a bit, I understand that, quite frankly, you're paid to score goals.
Sure.
And he was doing that.
Right.
Defoe doesn't play enough goal games yet to have that right to avoid the media.
But it's not even, I mean, for me, you're right, James, but that's not even the issue for me, is that like when you come here, then you sign on and you sign on for everything, right? And part of the responsibility is having to deal with the media every day. You can't sort of cherry pick and say, oh, I'm not going to talk to the media today, or, that's not part of what I'm going to do. Well, I'm sorry. I mean, you want the big dollars, you want to come play in MLS, you want to kind of, live the Canadian North American lifestyle. This is part of the package, so you can't sort of shirk that off.
But these guys, let's be honest, right? These guys are up their own asses all the time.
Sure.
Right? They live this, wonderful existence, which, listen, everyone has their challenges in life. I know that. But, You know, you're playing sport for a living for obscene money is a pretty good gig if you can get it.
Absolutely.
You know, and they, I think they're just completely, the blinders are on. They don't even see that. They get shown this big contract. You know, they're not going to, well, before I sign that massive deal with you, Toronto, I'm going to just ask around and do my research, you know, and find out, you know, what life is like over there as a player. No, they don't care. It's money. Money, 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 money.
Yeah.
Right? It's sad, but that's reality. But he's leaving next year anyway.
So yeah, exactly. So who cares? I don't think we have to deal with it much longer.
It'll be someone else, right? How long before the rumors begin about who the next DP is going to be, huh?
Yeah.
Wow. Well. Have they learned the lesson?
Yeah, that'll be an interesting question.
They still need, listen, they will need goals.
Yeah.
If he leaves, regardless of where they get them from, they'll need goals. That's an issue with him.
Yeah, but you know what, James, too? I think they need help at the back as well.
Like, sure.
They've got to go out and get
center half.
A stud center half and possibly two, because I'm not sure Caldwell, because he missed he missed a number of games this season. So, and I think you saw a noticeable slowing down of his game. So I wonder, you know, if he's going to be good for another season or if his best game is behind him or not.
Would you throw DP money at a center back?
I mean, me personally, yeah. I would. Absolutely.
There's reason to do that.
I think it's easy for me to say. I know it's kind of not really a sexy thing to do, but I think you have to. Like, it's.
Who are they right now? Omar Gonzalez. Right?
I think there's one or two, a few others, but I think you have to. I mean, this has been, you know, one of the club's major problems, like all eight seasons, right? Is they don't have that sort of defensive quarterback at the back. So. Yeah. It doesn't necessarily have to be addressed with a DP. I think you can find quality at the center half position without throwing DP money at it. But if that's the only option, then I wouldn't shy away from doing it.
I mean, I think Justin Morrow was very good this season.
Great pickup.
You know,
awesome.
Haglund turned out to be a real great little pick, you know, and obviously very high up in the draft. But again, he's a rookie, and you can't expect too much of him, right? Daniil Henry, I think, had a step backwards this season.
You do? Yeah.
Yeah, I think so, especially under Vanney.
I would agree with that.
Nelson, you know, ushered in many, but like some big minutes, right?
I thought he played. I thought, you know, last year I was very critical of Daniil, and this year not so much. I thought he, you know, improved his game.
Mm-hmm.
My take, anyway.
Yep, that's fair enough. So I mean, listen, Azerio, you know, in the midfield had some nice moments too, but again, injuries were an issue there. There are positives in this team, certainly. I think the scary part is that people are going to just, you know, clump in the whole 8 years as a whole and get angry over it. I was on the radio this morning on Brady and Walker, and I was saying how, you know, the trouble is in sports, especially in North America, is the fans get upset and they quit on their teams. They quit their teams. You should never do that. Never quit the team. Now, you can be upset with owners, but owners come and go. You can be upset with players. They come and go. Managers, they come and go. But you should believe in that crest, right? Be vociferous. You know, certainly communicate your dismay and this, you know, dislike. Sure, that's your right, but don't quit your team. And the example I would use would be Liverpool back under the Hicks and Gillette era, right? That was a terrible era for that club. That club was on the brink of bankruptcy. It was driven into the ground by those owners. Now, the fans didn't run away. In fact, they got louder and said, no, this club is not about you, to the owners in this case. It's about us and our crest and what the club means to us. And this is not an attack on MLSE or ownership of TFC, because quite frankly, they're throwing money at this club. Mm-hmm. It's been misspent, maybe,
right?
But they're throwing money at the club, so I don't blame ownership, right? Sure, they can, maybe previous eras, right? But what I'm saying is, you know, I'm seeing it on social media a lot right now. I'm not going to renew my season tickets. I'm not going to do this, not going to do that. I'm never going to go to a TFC game again. Really? Come on.
Yeah.
They're not that far off.
No. And I get what you're, I mean, I feel very uncomfortable telling fans how to sort of act, and if, you know, if they're really that disgruntled, then fair enough. I mean, who am I to tell them, you know, what to do? But I'm with you. I mean, I think you have to support your team regardless of what happens. I mean, in my case, when my beloved Juventus was relegated to Serie B, you know, I didn't sort of like throw in the towel. I was like, you know, if this is what's happened, then I got to stick with them.
It sucks, but you gotta go through it, right?
I think that's, you know, the hard times make, you know, it's cliche to say, but I think the hard times make the good times that much sweeter. So, I mean, you know, after 8 years of hurt, imagine how good it's going to feel when they finally make the playoffs.
Well, I think you wrote about this last week, I think. Look at DC United. They turned around in one season.
Last year, they were dead last in Major League Soccer with 13 points. Like, think about that.
They were awful.
They were dreadful.
Dire.
And now, you know, they clinched first place in the Eastern Conference. Who's to say that they're not going to, like, win MLS Cup? So that was, you know, I mean, now that was kind of a two-year sort of rebuilding process. But still, I mean, it is possible to turn it around in one season.
Sure.
So
it can be done.
It can be done,
and,
absolutely.
And with some key pieces in place, as we've mentioned, you know, okay, Morrow, Caldwell, Bradley, maybe Gilberto, some youth in Osorio. There are pieces there.
Yeah.
Right? And, you know, we're going to find out. Bespachenko will be tested now. We're going to find out.
Absolutely.
Should he be there? I don't know if he should be there or not. We're going to find out. Greg Vanney. Yeah. Listen, you were very critical on the Nelson hire originally.
Yes.
No experience. Vanney, no experience. Are you as critical?
Not as much, because I've kind of gotten to know Greg just from, you know, talking to him. And I think he's a very smart, bright guy. He thinks about the game in a different way, and I kind of see his vision of what he wants to do with this club. I think with Ryan, I was never sure. He was just sort of going a mile a minute and in 20 different directions, and he never really kind of firmly tried to establish an identity of how this team wants to play.
Is it because probably it's because Vanny's kind of come through the ranks? He's been an assistant
probably.
Coach.
Probably.
He's looked from the outside within a club without getting here, first job, get a great
franchise. Exactly. Yeah, I think that there's that difference too. I mean, do I think that they should stay with Greg Vanney? I think if you can go out and get an experienced coach, like, I'm just throwing this out there, if you can go out and get Bob Bradley, then you move heaven and earth and you bring Bob Bradley to Toronto FC. If you can go out and get Bruce Arena or Ziggy Schmidt, or, you know, Dominic Kinnear would have been a great one, but, you know, he moved to San Jose. If you can get someone in that ilk with that sort of profile, then you bring them in. But I'm not sure. But I wouldn't be terribly disappointed if they stuck with Vanney, because I think he's a bright guy. I like the sort of his vision for the club, and, you know, let's see what he can do.
But by going for the veteran guy, you take away that excuse as well. Oh, well,
that's true too.
Job, you know,
that's true too.
But then you look at Vancouver last year, right? That they wanted Bob Bradley, they didn't get him, right? So okay, their second choice, Carl Robinson.
Yeah,
and it's turned out really well so
it has.
Far.
Yeah,
you know,
very well.
So, you know, it's almost one of those, you know, additions by subtraction type things, right?
Right.
So, you know, first-year coaches can work in this league. But again, Robbo went through the ranks too, was an assistant
for
a couple of years in Vancouver, right?
I think it's just, you know, you look at, like, TFC's last four or five coaches, though. It's like they've all been guys without any top-level experience, right? So, I mean, that's why I think you have to make the argument, you know, now's the time after all these sort of failed experiments to get someone who's, like, has an experience and has a track record of success. But, you know, talking to Greg Vanney last week, you know, he said he's already talked to Bez and he expects to be there next season. So,
well, I think people are saying, well, when he took over, they were 500 and now they're 2-5-2.
So, yeah, but you
know
what?
They were in a tailspin by that point, right? They were in a tailspin.
They were exactly. I mean, they had lost. They had only won three of, like, the previous 13 games under Ryan with one clean sheet, which was against last place Montreal. They only won 14 out of a possible 39 points. So, yeah, they were in a playoff spot at third, but they were in a tailspin. This was like going out of control. So this idea that if they just stuck the course with Ryan, that they probably could have, like, you know, if they gambled and kept him, that they probably would have made the playoffs. Not true. They were going to lose anyway.
It'll be a fascinating offseason. Find some complementary pieces to what's there already. You know, make sure players are playing in their preferred positions. Keep Bradley, for example, playing in a deep-lying role. Don't push him up where he shouldn't be.
Right.
You know, that just basic management, and maybe they'll be okay. But we'll be discussing this, I'm sure, over the coming months.
I think it'll come up a few times.
I'm saying those fans who are thinking about ditching their seasons, just think about it, right? Give it a few weeks, because you lose that ticket, it's not easy to get back.
Right.
Right? It's a long time without a ticket, that's all I'm saying. And I understand the frustration. I get it.
Yeah.
But just think about the crest.
Exactly.
Get personalities.
Think about how great it's going to be once they do make the playoffs. Cling to that.
If bloody TFC is hearing this from us, they should give us a little bonus here or something or other, because...
Yeah, people are going
to
think...
We're convincing people here to... I know.
They're going to think we're on the payroll or something.
Far from it, yeah. Far from it. Anyway, let's move on, shall we?
Sure.
Well, let's switch gears now and head to some European football. The Champions League Match Day 3, as mentioned, comes to your Sportsnet screens this week. Joining us now is Bobby the Brains McMahon. Bobby, it's been a while, mate. How you doing?
It has. How many birthdays have you had since we last spoke, James?
Several. Several. It feels like several, that's for sure.
I know John stopped having birthdays like me.
I lost count at this point, so... Yeah.
All right, listen, let's begin with the only one on Tuesday, Cheska Moscow against Man City, Bobby. You look at City and they're doing the job domestically. They're getting the wins where they should. They're where we thought they would be, and that's second place right now behind Chelsea. Of course, Europe's a different animal, isn't it? And it seems in many ways this team's stagnating. They're not making that next jump forward. Is that fair to say?
Still to prove themselves. Yeah, it's you look at that result, going to Bayern Munich, you know, not bad performance, but lose a late goal, then they come back. Really a game they needed to win against Roma, and sort of struggled for long periods of time. And Roma, I thought, in many ways, had a real good chance to win that game, finished up with a draw. So City are now in a position that I don't think anybody ever really wants to be in the Champions League, where the pressure is on them to actually win at home. Sorry, win away from home. So off to Moscow they go, and CSKA Moscow are a side that turns up in the group stage quite regularly, but doesn't really turn up too often after that, and are one of these teams that sort of seem to turn up for the money. But City have to do the business, and as I say, they've put some extra pressure on themselves now by the 2 points they dropped at home to Roma.
How do you account for the disparity between their form in Europe and domestically, Bobby? Because, I mean, this is a pretty stacked City side, I mean, with talent to burn, like at all sort of positions. I mean, certainly Bayern and Roma are quality opponents, so there's no shame in not getting results necessarily. But, you know, the performances in the two games I found were pretty flat. I mean, they've got all this world-class talent. How do you account for that?
John, because you look at it and you point out that they've got depth, they've got real quality. You know, on occasion, one of these players, whether it be Yaya Toure or Sergio Aguero, as we saw on Saturday, really steps forward and reminds us how many good players they actually do have. I think on one hand, you look at City and you say, well, there is a team without any pedigree in terms of European soccer, but, you know, that's a kind of nebulous statement, because you look at the players and you look at the manager, and they've got very experienced players. The only thing I can really sort of point towards is the likes of Manchester United and the likes of Arsenal early on struggled to adapt their game to Europe. And perhaps, you know, it's the fact that they're coming up against different styles. They're coming up against teams in many cases are a little bit better organised, and maybe it's partly psychological as well for Manchester City as well, knowing that so much have expected of them because of the investment in the pool and being got in the pool overall, and knowing that, you know, winning domestically isn't the full, it's just only part of the equation for them. The ownership expects them to be a dominant team in Europe, not just in England.
Staying in Group E, and for me, this is the tilt of the match day three. It's just brilliant. Roma against Bayern Munich. Roma, one of the surprises this year, I suppose. I mean, we saw them in the Serie A last year being quite brilliant, but they've continued it this year domestically and also in Europe against Bayern Munich. Now, I look at Bayern this year, and I compare them to last year. Now, last year, obviously, they were very, very good, but it was Pep's first year. This year, they seem to be more of a Pep team to me, because I'm watching them play and I can't figure out what the hell they're playing. what style, tactically, who's playing left back, right? I don't know. I have no idea. It's Pep at his best.
And it's even worse if you start looking at it from first half to second half.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
Like, it was Claudio Ranieri that was the original Tinkerman, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yep.
Well, this is Tinkerman 2, at least. because he does, and just reading little excerpts last week from the book that's coming out on him, and just this continual drive for perfection and to demolish the opposition. He's just not a man that gets set in his setting approach to the opposition, and just has his team go out every week, and he's constantly looking for that little tweak here, a little tweak there, and I think probably, you know, there's a lot of big signings during the summer, but I don't think there was a more interesting signing than signing Alonso and taking over Bayern Munich.
Yeah.
That was one that I don't think anybody saw coming, particularly after losing Tony Kroos. He goes to Real Madrid and he goes the other way. But Alonso, it, you know, past his, well, for the other side of 30 by now, but a magnificent player, still a magnificent player. And I think, you know, all sorts of reasons why Pep Guardiola, having never actually had him play under him so far, but then taking it with Bayern Munich, that is a real interesting one, and how Alonso kind of affects that Bayern style throughout the season is going to be one of the most interesting things of the season, I think.
What have you made of Roma, Bobby? Because, I mean, this is an interesting story in that, you know, Totti is... You know, we remember that goal against City last time out. I mean, just absolutely breathless. And Pjanic is playing some of his best football. And Gervinho, after kind of washing out in England, is you know, been a real sort of revelation in Serie A. And I think a lot of the credit goes to Rudy Garcia the last two seasons. But, I mean, I don't know, just the way that they're playing and the way that they've challenged, you know, Juventus last year. And now they're you know, they look to be a serious contender in Europe. I mean, how hard should we be looking at them as, you know, a team that can, you know, go far in this tournament?
Well, they could be, and James and I go back and forth with this every year on who's going to be the surprise team of the Champions League, and you look at the makeup of Roma, and there's a possibility that it could be Roma. They seem to tick a lot of these boxes. I think that the fact that you pointed towards Rudy Garcia is obviously critical to this.
Right.
So when he took over, I think there's a lot of people looking at that appointment going, Rudy Garcia, well, he's coached in France, he's had a little bit of success there, but he's really equipped to revitalise a Roma side that had sort of found itself stuck in reverse gear and wasn't able to reinvigorate itself. But the number of moves in Roma around the ownership, and then Garcia comes in. And I think when you look at a player like Gervinho and the improvement his performance over the sort of nervous wreck he was at Arsenal, is really, when you get right down to Garcia's doing what a coach is supposed to do. He's getting the best out of the players he's got. He's giving them a system that they're comfortable in. Now, having said that, of course, this is the thing we've got. I think we've always got to watch about the round three and round four of Champions League. Roma could set this group completely on its ear, particularly if they can beat Bayern in round three. But there again, if Bayern turn around and beat Roma twice, then suddenly the whole dynamic is switched, particularly if City beat CSKA twice. And I think that's always one of the most interesting things around that round three and round four, the home and home games, is how it can take our sort of preconceived notions of how groups are going to form and how they're going to finish up and completely turn them on their head, because of the you go out and win two games and suddenly you're going from looking like a has-been to a team that's really in contention and got a great chance of going on to the next stage.
And that's why Liverpool's screwed.
I think that's it. No, it's a good point, James, because it is a bad draw for Liverpool when you got Real Madrid. I think what you really want is the weaker side in the group on round three and round four. Now, Liverpool potentially screwed, but also Real Madrid at Anfield.
Yeah,
yeah.
You know, you could also see it going the other way as well, couldn't you?
It's a weird game, this one, isn't it? And it's a weird team, because you could see them being spanked by Real Madrid, you know, if they're going to defend like they have been this season, being spanked. But like I said, the Anfield really is that cliched 12th man, isn't it? And you know, you can see them getting a result here as well. But Mario Balotelli, listen, we have gone back and forth on this guy, Bobby, over the years. My God, 26 shots so far this season. That's third most in the league. Zero goals. This in the Premier League, of course. But I still believe in him. Am I just crazy?
Well, he scored goals. I think one of the issues with Balotelli is, I think you see his physical strength, you know his technical ability, you know on his day he could be a game winner. He's the kind of player that could, if he puts his mind to it, can, you know, can have a fantastic game and be a match winner, be a world class player. He doesn't do it often enough, and I think there's certainly a question mark about his consistency. He's never going to be a Luis Suarez. I think the question in my mind is, can Rodgers find a way to get the best out of him? Because he's not going to play like Suarez or even Sturridge does. He relies a lot on that physical ability. He's got a tremendous shot. He's not hitting the target too often with it this year, but he has got a tremendous shot. So a lot of the pieces are there, and he's also a player that, quite frankly, could also go from having a massive slump to suddenly being the darling of Anfield. Let's face it, Balotelli goes out and scores two goals against Real Madrid. All the questions are answered for the next couple of months anyway.
Another interesting one is Arsenal has to go to Belgium to take on Anderlecht. Certainly a winnable game for the Gunners, except, you know, not exactly in the brilliant of form lately. I don't know. I mean, when you look at this Arsenal team, I mean, on paper, there's talent, but just grinding out results, I mean, just it seems beyond them. What's going on?
They're just stuttering. They have no tempo to their game. They have no rhythm in their game. Teams are sitting deep. They're having trouble breaking them down. They're giving away bad goals. Every team gives away goals, but I think the goals that Arsenal have given away this year are particularly been poorly defended. So you've got a number of things going against them. You know, can they find a way to gel over the next few weeks? As you point out, John, they have got the talent. You look at Sanchez, seems to have found his feet quite nicely.
Yeah.
Welbeck has looked okay at times, but they just don't seem to have found a way to play together yet. Now, as James pointed out, in the situation with that round three and round four game, it's not a bad situation for Arsenal. Get a couple of wins against Anderlecht. You've got Borussia Dortmund against Galatasaray. It wouldn't be beyond the bounds of possibility that Borussia could beat Galatasaray twice, and that could put Arsenal and Borussia through. But the problem, and you're alluding to it, is you look at Arsenal and you're never quite sure if they're going to find a way to get over the line this year. Because even in the games they've won, apart from Galatasaray, but, you know, the first half performance against Galatasaray was good, but the second half they kind of lost their place again. So you look at Arsenal this year, and I think you're really struggling to find a consistent 90 minutes where you could say they were the dominant team and that really were the best from start to finish.
But it's funny because Arsenal, they're one of those teams, more than perhaps any other, where when they're teetering on the brink of crisis, they find a really good result from somewhere.
Yeah,
and everything
true.
Goes, oh, it's okay after all. And then they'll start building and then they'll drop again. Then they'll win a big game and then it's just crazy. Bobby, listen, mate, I really miss you. Do you know that? I really miss you.
I miss you too, James.
Listen, let's chat soon, okay? Thanks so much, mate.
My pleasure. Thanks, James. Thanks, John.
Thanks.
That was Bobby the Brains McMahon. Great stuff as always from Bobby as we look ahead to what should be a great match day three. By the way, Luis Suarez's ban comes to an end this week, doesn't it? Eh?
Yeah, coincidentally.
Yep.
Just they in play time, El Clasico, right? On Saturday. Funny how that worked out.
I'll have some of that. Thank you very much. Well, let's quickly, J-Mo, check out some of these weekend results from the Premier League. How can we not start with Southampton 8, Sunderland 0? Boy,
crazy.
I haven't seen as awful defence as that since QPR Liverpool. That's probably a bit unfair, maybe on the Reds. But 8 goals, and that Virginie own goal to start it off, the 18-yarder.
Great finish.
Volley.
Great finish.
Wasn't it? Man alive. What about Southampton, eh?
Yeah, I mean,
some good football runner. Tadic. I think 3 assists was in that game and a goal.
Yeah, he's been, I mean, everyone is talking about Graziano Pelé, but I think Tadic has been just as influential a pickup for him. He's been absolutely great. So it's, yeah, I mean, it's weird too because everyone, I'm not sure that a lot of people thought they would necessarily go down after that fire sale, but certainly I think a lot thought they would struggle or be at the bottom end of the table, but, you know, looking pretty good. I hope they keep it up.
I got my picks actually here in the back of my book here.
Oh, do you really?
Nope, not Southampton, not there.
Okay, there you go.
I had West Brom, Leicester, and Burnley.
Yeah.
Burnley's looking pretty good right now.
Burnley's looking good.
Not a bad pick. You know my top four? Chelsea.
Wow.
Brave pick. Arsenal second.
That's brave.
Yep. City third, and Liverpool fourth.
That's brave too.
It's still early. It's still very, very early.
Not going to happen, Charles.
I'm not concerned about it, okay? It's going to be just fine. What else we got here? So Man City beat Spurs 4-1. Aguero with four goals. I know we mentioned Man City earlier today, but still, I know two were penalties, and he missed a penalty as well. But my God, someone called him this week, I heard it, Forget, you know, all these superlatives. He's an assassin.
Ooh, I like that.
That's what he is. It's great. It's perfect.
I like that.
You know, there's no one more deadly in tight space or a tight angle than Kun Aguero, is there?
Very well. Messi's pretty damn good
in the Premier League.
In the Premier League, no, I would agree. Yeah. No, I would agree. He's pretty damn, like, in tight spaces. Guy's like magician in a phone booth. Yeah,
incredible.
Absolutely.
Incredible. So 4-1 over Spurs. Kind of feel bad for Spurs in the scoreline there. Doesn't quite do it justice. They weren't that.
No, it was. It wasn't that sort of much of a blow. It was a lot closer, I thought. So
Arsenal dropped points to Hull 2-2. Wow. They were fortunate, thanks to Danny Welbeck's stoppage time equaliser there. But what do you expect? You got Nacho Monreal playing at centre half.
Yeah, that's true.
Jesus, not you know, good.
Just decimated with injuries. I just think there's this sort of mental block with them still, and you know, they just can't sort of grind out wins.
And his injuries, I mean, in the offseason, they bought over Germany's medical staff and yeah. hired them away. these you know, state-of-the-art robots from the States, actually.
Yeah.
Who, you know, I think they jump into the bloodstream of these players in these little rocket ships. And they go down the channels and they fix things. They're that modern. But these injuries aren't really painting a great picture right now, are they?
No, they're
not.
My word.
Chelsea beat Palace 2-1, no surprise there. Obviously, maybe the scoreline was a surprise, but Chelsea rarely destroy teams. They just do enough. And they get the goal lead, and that's enough, right?
That's Mourinho's sort of style, right?
So. Well, I was comparing them this weekend to Arsenal, the great Arsenal teams. When they're up a goal, they've won the game, right? One's enough. And when I see Chelsea up a goal now, I can pretty much turn the TV off.
You lock it down. Yeah, I agree.
They won't blow it.
Yeah, I agree.
West Ham won again, 3-1 over Burnley. Man, they're playing really well. Talk about good signings. Sacco, 6 goals in 6 games now.
Brilliant.
Valencia's looking pretty good.
Yeah, I think he was a great pickup too.
Nice partnership up front.
Yeah, absolutely.
And good for Big Sam. You know, he's so, you know, maligned as being this one-dimensional coach, but now he's got some pretty players.
Yeah.
Although they're still scoring from set pieces, but who cares? They're scoring goals, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
What else? And by the way, we're recording this before West Brom beat Manchester United. Hence, we're not commenting on that famous win.
You don't want to talk about Liverpool?
Well, we kind of mentioned them before. Go ahead. I'll let you go with it. It was a crazy,
game. Was a crazy sort of ending. And boy, I mean, QPR handed them 2 points there.
Boy, QPR are bad.
Yeah.
And really, you know, the big summer signing dropped.
Yeah, that was, wow. I mean, what does that say?
You think Harry's going to be done? Gone pretty soon? Sorry, done. Forgive the... pun there.
Really get the pun.
Zone goal. Yeah.
Possibly. Yeah. I mean, I don't know what, like, I don't know if who you get.
Maybe. Did it last year, right?
That's true.
Would he go there? This question.
I think that's just with the ownership there. I mean, like, who would want to work for those guys?
He's so ambitious, Tony Fernandes, right? Well, you know, who would want to work with them? But I mean, they're spending money.
Yeah.
A lot of money, and they have to stay up because they can't go down to the league championship. They can't go down.
Right. It just seems like an unstable situation that, you know, I don't know any sort of like manager who would, you know, just a revolving door, right?
Well, I'm sure he'd get paid pretty well, though.
Absolutely.
And
there is that.
There is quality in that squad.
There is.
I thought they survived this year, given the quality in that squad.
Yeah, I wasn't so sure.
Coca was a good signing. I thought Rio was an okay signing. Obviously,
really,
he isn't what he used to be, clearly. But I mean, as far as a veteran guy, a leader on that side, you got. I thought Zamora was pretty good yesterday, actually.
Yeah,
I've actually got a bit of a soft spot for Zamora. But I love the way, by the way, Harry calls out Adel Turet.
Turet, that was wow.
Too fat, basically, is what he says.
Yeah,
Adel too fat. He's 3 stone too heavy.
What is a stone?
I knew you'd ask me that.
Sorry.
I knew that, and I was going to look it up because I forget now. But I would weigh right now, I weigh about 11 stone or 12 stone around there. Right, so it's significant.
Okay.
So say a quarter of that.
Okay.
So that would be what, like?
Yeah.
A lot? 40 pounds?
That'd be 40 pounds, I guess.
Yeah, around there.
Wow. So why doesn't he just say 40 pounds?
I know. Well, because they use stone over there.
Really? Yeah. They don't use pounds?
No.
Or...
Okay. No, they're not. They're not imperial.
Okay.
Oh, pounds isn't imperial, though, is it? Pounds is imperial.
Yeah, it is imperial.
It's not metric.
Right.
Are they all stone?
I don't. Who knows? Who knows with you guys? You guys got your own language over there.
What happens when I come back in this podcast? We go on these relevant.
And what's while I'm at it? What's Fortnite? What is Fortnite? Is that 2 weeks?
2 weeks. Yeah.
So why don't you just say 2 weeks?
Fortnite sounds nice. The time you can save saying Fortnite compared to 2 weeks. Right?
Yeah, you're saving so much time there. Come on, English. Get together. Get with it.
Damn it. And the game of soccer, that speaks for itself. Anyway, although I think the Chinese invented soccer.
What have you done for us lately? Listen, we got to go.
Great content.
That's true. Before we go, though, just got to give a reminder that you can watch all 16 UEFA Champions League games on Tuesday and Wednesday live on Sportsnet's family of channels and platforms, including Roma versus Bayern Munich, which should be a great one, and Liverpool versus Real Madrid. We're also going to be showing a slew of UEFA Europa League games on Thursday, highlighted by Lille and Everton. I think you're hosting, too, on Thursday, right?
I am on Thursday, yeah. And then I'm sitting beside Craig on Tuesday and Wednesday.
There you go.
Right between. It's a Jerry and Craig sandwich.
Right. Which is the best kind of sandwich at all.
Yeah.
You can go to sportsnet.ca and consult the broadcast schedule for full details. And then on Thursday, Sharms, Brennan Dunlop, and Thomas Dobby will be going to be back with another edition of the Soccer Central podcast, although clearly not as good as this one.
Nope.
That's it for now.
Yeah.
Thanks for tuning in. We appreciate it. Cheers for listening.
Bye.